Friends, welcome back to another edition of the Church Planters Podcast. I have hacked into Peyton Jones' podcasting studio, and so you may have noticed the voice is a little bit different today, the face is a little bit different, but the heartbeat is going to stay the same. My name is Joshua Brown, and I've got over 22 years of vocational ministry experience, and I've also planted a church with some friends of mine. And I've also started a little business in the marketplace that turned into a ministry that we call the Pressure Washing Pastor, where we teach business owners how to act like missionaries, where they live, work, study, and play. I also have the honor of being the host of the Dudes Without Dads podcast, where we share stories of men who grew up without a father or a destructive, distracted dad and the impact it had, in hopes of introducing others to their Heavenly Father. But today we are going to jump into an episode where I actually believe that the Father has me here for a purpose, because as a marketplace minister, learning to plant churches right where you are is something I want to learn a lot about. And so without any further ado, let's hop into the podcast with my interview from Passion for Planting, Patrick and Sean. Let's get into it. Sean and Patrick, welcome to the Church Planters Podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's absolutely a pleasure. And I want to add a lot of value to anybody that's thinking about church planning or starting a residency program. And so I want to get right into what you have learned over the past decade of planting churches with church planters and why you guys are making a shift. Because my understanding is you guys have got a new emphasis on disciple making and mobilization, which is a super, super hot topic right now. So would you help our listeners understand what you guys have learned and what you guys are doing more moving forward?
Sure. I can start, and Patrick, you can fill in the details that I miss. So yeah, we've been planting churches. Pastor Planting has been planting churches for over 20 years now, but our residency started 11 years ago. We're going to start with our 12th residency cohort this coming September. And as we've been planting churches, 350 kind of in our family tree, one thing we've observed, and certainly not unique with, you know, the churches that we plant, but just kind of a lot of churches in general, is they've kind of adopted or have assumed really a consumer-driven operating system, is what Todd Wilson says. It's really focused on, at least what produces is oftentimes, sometimes people say, Christian consumers, not necessarily disciples who make disciples, people that are see themselves as everyday missionaries sharing the gospel where they live, work, and play. Oftentimes there's a distinguish between almost like the professional clergy and just the laity, and, people are paying the pastors to be, the people that are on mission, but everyone else are just attenders that support it. So, we've been making the shift to how do we mobilize, how do we plant churches that really mobilize just everyday missionaries into their context, and how do we, equip these church planters to be disciples who make disciples, to make disciple makers that will saturate their region with the gospel. And so, yeah, our training content this year is going to focus a little bit on kind of 101 formational thinking, helping all of our residents to to adopt the mindset of they are the primary disciple maker, and we're going to help them clarify how has God uniquely called them and equipped them and shaped them to do that, clarify their vision on, what their church, how their church is going to saturate their region with the gospel. And then we're also going to equip them with the knowledge, the tools, and the resources to be able to turn the vision that God's giving them, into an actionable plan that they can go out and kind of go do and produce this, hopefully, a disciple-making church wherever it is that God calls them. So, Patrick, what would you say is kind of some of the changes that we've been making?
Yeah, related to the consumer operating system, when we started the ministry almost 25 years ago, probably there were guys that came through before we were doing the residency. We were still doing like project management, some of those things to help churches get started. But probably there were guys that came through that had never really made a disciple and hadn't really been discipled, which is, that's kind of an unintended consequence or byproduct of this consumer-driven operating system that we've had for decades. And that hasn't really changed since we started the residency 11 years ago. We were seeing guys come through that hadn't really been discipled. And so one of those things that we're trying to solve is, like, how does a guy that's going to plant a church, how do we not plant with guys that have never made a disciple before? by not saying don't plant, but like, hey, let's help train you and teach you how to make disciples. And so for years we've been working on this. So one of the things that we've done in recent years is we have them wrestle with scripture and come up with a disciple making strategy, like challenge them to think or write down on paper, what is the process going to be like? Practically speaking, what do you actually do with somebody when you meet them and you disciple them to Jesus, and then you disciple them to maturity once they've chosen Jesus? And at the end of a 9-month distance residency, they've had these written plans. They've worked through that. They've prayed through that. But at the end of 9 months, still they have a written plan that is relatively aspirational, right? Here's the thing that I'm getting started doing, or I might do, like, get it started next month kind of a thing. And so one of the big changes we're making this year is we have found a couple of seasoned disciple-making practitioners that are seeing fruit here in the United States in the North American context. And we're inviting them in, and all of our residents this year, for the first 90 days, they're going to be coached. They're going to be discipled by these guys. They're going to pick one of those two sort of frameworks, and they're going to live it out. They're going to be discipled. And at the end of 90 days, they're going to start replicating that. So by the end of a 9-month residency, it won't be only aspirational. They'll be able to say, hey, look, here's my first, second generation of disciples by the time they're done with the residency, before they really get into the trenches of actively planting the church. And now they've got a track record. They've got a spiritual family that's already following them. Like, there's so many good things that we see coming out of this, this big addition, this plus that we've sewn in this year.
Yeah. There's some words that I want to drill in on. And one of them was a consumer driven church plant, or, you know, something that's focused on, a consumer. Can you give our listeners and me an example of what it looks like to plant a church that might be leaning towards, is it okay to use the word entertainment, or would there be another word that you would use?
That might be a little pejorative. So there's a lot of good that's come out of the current operating system. So maybe a more gracious way to come about that is to say, and to consider, what is the growth engine of the local congregation? Like, how do we normally add people to the congregation? So with our current consumer-driven operating system, it's largely the growth mechanism is events and programs, which aren't inherently evil. I mean, every church is going to have some level of those things. And so, again, unintended consequence or side effect maybe is that disciple-making or discipleship becomes another program of the church, not part of the DNA of who we are. So if you come at it from the other direction, where disciple making, like making new disciples, bringing people to Christ, if that's the normal way that people are added to the congregation, if that's the growth engine, then you're going to have some events and you're going to have a few programs and things like that. But the main thing then is the disciple making, and it just flips the whole thing on its head. You get a very different culture, you get different outcomes, you get different types of disciples that are made.
Yeah, so I have 22 years of vocational ministry experience. You know, I was a 20-year-old that gave my pastor, my pot, God, my heart. And the next thing you know, I end up in vocational ministry school, teaching Sunday school within 6 months after giving my weed to the pastor. And when I look back on it, I'm like, I left vocational ministry because all I was doing was growing programs and events. We weren't making disciples. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about, hey, who this is for, it sounds like you're looking for individuals that, you know, we may have programs, you may have events, but the desired outcome is a disciple making relational model. Can you just drill into what does it look like to be a disciple making mobilization church planner? What are the behaviors? What am I doing? So, like, help me understand what that looks like.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, okay, figuring out what, you know, if I was a church planter, I would have to say, you know, this is how I make disciples. Do I have some sort of process that's simple, that's reproducible, that I can do with somebody, that they can then do with somebody, that they can do with somebody? So it's like, you know, for instance, for, you know, one of our, well, I've used this one in the past, you know, the six commands of Christ, which I have someone, you know, under that I take under my wing, and I train them to be able to put their faith in Christ, share the gospel with them. They learn their story. They go out and they go share it with somebody, you know, and then they come back to me and I say, all right, let's teach you how to pray. Teach this disciple how to pray. We pray together. All right. Now let's teach you how to read scripture so you can have a connection with God. And let's teach you, you know, why is it important to live in community? Let's get you connected with the community. Now let's teach you how to share the gospel and train them in sharing the gospel. And now let's teach you on. So it's a lot of training, disciples, to be able to then go say what I just did with you, now go do it with somebody else. And I'm going to be, you know, encouraging you along the way. And so in some ways it's helping our residents and church planters to think about not, hey, set up a worship service and hope people come and then turn a crowd into a church. But, you know, start with just building relationships with people, sharing the gospel with them, training them how to have a relationship with God, training them how to hear God's voice, to obey God's voice in their life. Yeah. And, you know, kind of saying, hey, what I did with you, you know, let's go do that with somebody else, and see reproduction. That's what I would, one way I see it.
Yeah, I love that. So if you're listening today and you're processing, could you be a church planner or what does it take? I want you to process through this. It's not about having a big budget. You know, it's not about putting on programs, events, and organization. It's really about learning how to be a disciple who makes disciples wherever you are. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'm really excited about when I spoke with Todd about this, as far as the variety of context that you guys are reaching out for. So when you think about the ideal avatar for your residency program, is it someone from a suburban background? Is it for a house, a microchurch, or, you know, who all would you say that you guys have designed this residency program for?
Yeah. A key aspect of how we've built this over the years is, it's never been here's a cookie cutter or a magic formula kind of approach. We've always challenged the residents to wrestle with the right questions. Sometimes they don't even know what the questions are that they need to be asking or wrestling with. So we help with that. But prayerfully, like, what is God calling you to do? How is he calling you to plant in your context? And so starting with the calling, but I've lost my train of thought. Sean, help me out here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say, you know, anybody who is sensing that God's calling them to go make disciples and turn those disciples into an organization, a church, could be like, we're trying to be a little more open even in the future to say, maybe God's going to call guys to make disciples and start some sort of nonprofit, some sort of ministry. It might not even eventually become a church. Maybe it will be, but maybe it's going to be because of cause that you're going to start something that's going to make disciples in the prison system. You know, who knows? Maybe God's going to burden someone and they can come through our residency and be trained and equipped to be able to make that vision that God's given them into a reality. You know, right now, most of our training is all on helping you make disciples and start new churches, but those churches are going to look a lot different. You know, there are going to be some guys that come in and they're thinking, you know, I'm going to need to make my livelihood from this church. And so we're going to have to figure out a church that's going to be able to support me. And then other guys will say, hey, I've got a other gig that I can do to support myself. And so I feel like God's calling me to plant, you know, a micro church that reproduces, you know, and I've got an ability to be able to, you know, inspire and train other, you know, business leaders that can start churches in like CrossFit gyms or in, you know, office spaces. You know, we would love to be able to equip, you know, people that are feeling called to plant churches that look different, are different sizes, different models, but ultimately are making disciples as the core growth engine through relational disciple making, and all for, you know, obviously for God's glory. And so it's going to look a lot different in different contexts, urban context, suburban, rural, I think Patrick was kind of getting to, we got very model neutral in our training. We try to ask a lot of questions, not give out a lot of answers, but give them time and space to listen to God and help them kind of get the answers that he wants them to have.
Thanks for saving me on that. That's exactly it. Is I can look a lot of different ways depending on the process and how they do their wrestling.
Todd wrote a book called More, and it's one of my favorite books on calling. And inside of there, and this for our listeners, I'm sure you guys are already familiar with it, there's a framework of primary and secondary calling. And in our primary, we have a be, do, go of be a disciple who makes disciples wherever they are. And then what you're drilling in on is you guys have provided something specifically for a secondary calling of church planning, be, do, go, and inside of a residency program for someone that has never even thought of residency as a category. You know, why don't I just buy one of Francis Chan's books? Why don't I go to a conference or get a mentor? You guys are like, hey, why don't you try the residency program? Would you mind sharing a little bit of why that is a category that every church planner should consider before planning a church?
Yeah, I'll let you flesh it out a little, Sean, but my initial thought on that is a great residency is going to have teaching and training. You want to read books like Chan and other great authors that are out there that are writing on this. You have new ideas. But one of the shortcomings of our Western education system is if it's only knowledge, if it's only information, it has limited transformation. But we seem to intuitively get like the training aspect. Like if you're playing basketball, you got to know the basics. You got to run the lines. You got to practice your dribbles. You know all the shots and all the things. And so there's an aspect of practice that comes in the training side. And so like with the disciple making, let's actually do this. Okay, so Sean will ask them during the residency cohort, like every week or every other week, like how's your following and how's your fishing. You know, let's report back. So they're out there actually practicing, doing the do. So they gain confidence, and they're not just only learning new knowledge information, which is important. But they're also developing new skills and new muscle memory along the way.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, accountability built in when you're in like a residency cohort, right? You know, you could do a residency at a church and kind of be all by yourself, kind of learn from that church. You know, there's probably a lot that you could learn. One of the benefits of the pastoral planning residency is you're going to be in a cohort of, you know, 12 guys from all over the country, you know, a lot of cross pollination. So, you know, what's going on in this part of the country and this kind of network, man, they're learning things that this would be really helpful over here. And so they're sharing resources, they're sharing ideas, they're sharpening each other. They're keeping each other accountable for doing the work, for doing the producing the strategies, for practicing it all. Sharing ideas, while also, you know, networking with all these great instructors that we bring in that have a lot of experience and a lot of connections all over the country that can connect them with people oftentimes in the regions that these guys are in, but need to get help networking there. So that, you know, oftentimes doors are open just because of all the networking that happens within the cohort. I think the relationships, one of the big things is that the residents really love is the relationships that they build with the other guys in the cohort. Just this past week, we had a call with the guys that finished in June, and they wanted to get together. They said, we want to do this once a month. We will have seen each other. We got to get together at least once a month to just check in with each other, see how one's doing, pray for each other. So in the past, I've kind of led that, but this cohort's like, we'll do it. You know, we'll do it on our own. You can come, Sean. So it was great. I just showed up, and I showed up late because I told them I'm going to be late. And they're like, that's fine. But they just wanted to get together and encourage each other. And so, yeah, it's, you know, maybe you can go, I guess the African proverb says, you can go fast. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And so I've seen that with our cohort doing things together has led to some long-term fruit as the guys go and plant, but don't feel so alone.
Yeah. God has kind of led us to this sweet spot in the distance residency where it's sort of a hybrid. So initially we knew we didn't want to have everybody move here for a year to Washington, D.C., which was really expensive. And, you know, and for many, it's the context isn't like anything like where they're going to be planting. But if it's only remote, like the guys never get to really know each other, if it's only just on a screen. So we have them come a couple of times in person. So they get some FaceTime, they make fast friends. And so it's the best of both worlds. They don't have to move their family across the country to do a residency, but they have some time to really get to know and form this brotherhood that, that Sean's describing. It happens routinely every year. We see the cohorts just meld together and stay in touch. It's a real cool thing.
Yeah, I actually wanted to drill in because I had not, when I read what I read, I was like, you guys have a virtual residency program. I'm like, what in the world is that? And then, so I want you to answer this. And then I was like, well, that's cool. You don't have to break the family apart. You know, when I look at just America as a whole and see generational brokenness from tribes and, you know, moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, it's like the generations are so broken where kids don't know who their grandparents, who their uncles are. Mm-hmm. You guys are putting together something where you can stay in the context mm-hmm. of your family, and then you don't have to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars going to a school, and you can get trained, and you could even keep your job and maybe open up a church inside of your business. Like, would you help me understand what a virtual residency program looks like? Because I think it's a super cool idea.
Yeah. I guess just, yeah, the basic logistics is we do have four in-person events, but most of our training happens on Zoom. So on Wednesdays, at least this year, it's Wednesdays. It's always been Wednesdays. We'll probably continue to do it for Wednesdays for a while, but from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern time, we get together on Zoom. We take an hour long break for lunch. But, you know, we get together, our residents will get in their micro groups to get started to talk about what they're doing in their micro groups in terms of relational disciple making. Then we bring on, you know, guest presenters that will teach on a certain topic. They'll have discussions, they'll produce documents that they'll then share during a residency. Hey, this is what I'm working on. This is what I'm producing. So they're giving each other feedback, sharing ideas. So that all happens, yeah, from September through May online. And it seems like, man, that would be terrible. Like, you're on Zoom, a Zoom call all day. And yet most of our residents, like every resident this year, was just like, I look forward to Wednesdays. Like, I look forward to getting on this call with my brothers. It's something that they love to do and just be encouraged by. And yeah, so I enjoy it. It's always a highlight of my week. But we do have four on-site intensives. So we have a kickoff that we start with in September where they come to Northern Virginia 24 hours just to meet each other. We have 2 4-day intensive where they come to our offices in Northern Virginia Monday through a Thursday. So in December and March that happens. And then we have our final kind of capstone project is called Pitch Lab, where residents are able to, you know, throughout the residency, we're preparing them to be able to condense their vision down to 8 minutes. You know, can you communicate your vision in 8 minutes? You better. If you don't, you probably don't understand it enough. So let's condense it down to 8 minutes. You'll get coaching on it in the morning. And then in the afternoon, you get to share it from a main stage with a lot of church planters, a lot of church leaders, and even potentially maybe some people that want to support financially church plants. So we love be able to set up our residents for success in that way. So, yeah, it's mainly virtual. Guys always, you know, they get to stay where they are sometimes in mid year, you know, they move from where they are to the city where they're going to go plant, you know, and it allows them to be able to do that. But it, you know, it gives them the flexibility to be able to go wherever it is that God wants them to be. And then just visit us a few times in person. So Patrick, yeah. Anything you'd add?
Yeah. Just another sort of sweet spot that we almost accidented upon is just that, because the impulse maybe to move across the country to do a residency would be like, wherever I'm going, that's where the expertise is. And so with the distance residency through Zoom, like Sean has over 30 different presenters and people that we know in church mm-hmm. leadership and church planning leadership and thought leaders and practitioners, they're all coming to present to these guys. So we're bringing the expertise to you. So imagine you're in a well-intentioned church in small town America, like, and maybe they don't have the wherewithal. Like, how do we even build a residency? We don't know how to do that. We don't have any training in that. And we have to hire staff for that. So no, it's like, stay there, practice all the skills and get access to do the residency in the local congregation in your context. But then we can bring the expertise and even the family aspect of that to you. And so it really does work out that as they're you know, praying through and practicing the skills in the local community, that there's just so much good that comes out of that. And then, you know, the host church that's giving them access to do the practicing, the learning, it's like, wow, we didn't have to come up with all of this on our own. It's like Bashan for Planting sort of brought the curriculum, the structure to it, which makes it easy. So then they get to do the coaching, the relational stuff, and we can bring the content.
Yeah. So one thing we say at Pastor Planting is we want to help every church be one decision away from being a reproducing church. So this is one of the ways that we do that. And so, yeah, all these churches, they say, hey, we've got a guy. Sometimes even, hey, can you help us find a guy? And we try to help them. We come alongside of them, support them. And then they get to say, hey, we've got a resident and we're going to send them out. And so they become a reproducing church and celebrate it. And hopefully it's contagious and they do it again, and maybe they inspire other churches in the region to do the same thing.
Yeah. Want it to be almost as easy as just add water.
Yeah. The one decision away, you actually read my notes as far as our conversation. That was the next logical conversation is it's basically an idea that you believe every business, every leader, every church should really be one decision away from planting a church. Why do you believe that's important to have that thought?
Well, I mean, God, Jesus called us to make disciples. And then what we see as an outgrowth of that is, you know, churches being planted, being that environment in which disciples are, you know, are made, are grown, are reproduced. And so, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, as much as we can to be able to support church planting. We know that, I think it's, Patrick, you can correct me, but I think it's 93%. The last I knew, like 93% of churches don't reproduce. Do you know that number, Patrick?
Yeah, it's in the U.S. context. There's one initial study and one update study that both showed that. Well, I'll say it the other way: 7% of U.S. churches are reproducing, and that's a pretty broad category. There's a lot of things that could qualify you as a reproducing church, but. Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, just imagine if a population of a nation or a people group only had 7% of the parents having babies. Like,
yeah.
You know, the other thing is everything reproduces after its own kind. So we're looking at, you know, helping disciples make disciples, and then churches plant churches. So Passion for Planting doesn't come in and say, we're going to plant this church and you're going to help. It's very much like, hey, local congregation, you're the hope of the world. You know, Jesus is the hope of the world through you. You can plant a church. How can we help equip you to do that?
Yeah, I appreciate you get into that. I've got a couple more questions for you guys. One of them is going to be the outcome. Let's say that I'm a pastor of a local church. I'm thinking about sending a couple of young men, or, you know, is there an age before I assume? Is there a certain sweet spot for someone to apply?
Right. Yeah, I mean, we're looking for residents that have, you know, leadership experience. You know, we don't want, you know, a resident to kind of this be their first thing, maybe out of Bible college, they don't have any experience leading anything. So we are looking for residents that have some history of making disciples. You know, they might not have to be like, you know, a prolific disciple maker that's, you know, doing it, but they've got the desires and they've exhibited some behaviors of a disciple maker. They've got some sort of leadership capacity, gifting. They've built maybe a team, maybe it's in the secular world, in the business world, but they've got influence, and they've proven it, whether in a church or in the business world. So typically, most of our guys have, you know, 6, 7, 8. Sometimes guys that have been through have you know, decades of ministry experience. We had one guy that came through that was a retired minister. And he's like, hey, I've did the whole ministry thing for 39 years, but God still got something left in me. And I don't know exactly what it is, but I know he's calling me to make disciples and start something new. So he came into the residency And so it is all over the board in terms of how much experience people have. But I would say, you know, have some experience, you know, at least maybe 5-6 years of some practical leadership experience. Patrick, what would you say?
Yeah, I would soften that a little. One is we don't want to apply the Bible degree as required because mm-hmm. it's the residency. We're providing the training. And so marketplace to ministry guys, I think maybe what Sean is getting at is, you know, if somebody is 16, 17, probably that's too soon. But increasingly, we want to help people refine and define their calling. And so, for instance, we have a young man that's going to be auditing this year. And so maybe not like full-fledged official residency where he's going to go out and plant immediately, but he's using it as a process to learn and discern, maybe, God, what are you calling me into? And if it's not church planting and if it's some other ministry or disciple making something, like, great, that's a kingdom win.
So I'm thinking about the senior leader, somebody that has worked in the marketplace for many years, and someone sent them this podcast or they're processing it, or, you know, you're a pastor and you're not the who, but maybe you have a couple of who's at your church. What is the outcome of going through a 9-month residency program? And so let's say I send someone from my team, or I'm a senior leader and I'm saying, you know what, I feel like God's calling me to this. I'm going to try it out. At the end of the 9 months, what are going to be the things that I'm going to be able to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say one thing would be they should have a clear sense of their calling. I mean, you mentioned Todd Wilson and his book, More. Like, in our residency, Todd is going to take our residents through the More book and all his training on personal calling. So, you know, that's one thing a lot of people, you know, whether they've, you know, maybe they don't oftentimes realize, like, you know, what is that secondary calling? I know I'm called to be a disciple maker, but, you know, kind of where and how and what's my unique vocational calling? And so they should have much more clarity on that after going through our cohort. And then even more clarity on, you know, what is it that God's calling me to start? And again, it might not be a traditional church. But it should be something that's going to make an impact for the kingdom. That's going to make disciples, and they will have really, you know, strategies and tools and a plan to then go follow, to execute, to go make that vision, you know, that vision that they have reality.
Yeah, I would add confidence and new skills because they've practiced them and they have an idea of what they can do. Mm-hmm. We mentioned the camaraderie, just that brotherhood of traveling together. And then just a couple of very practical, like actual tangible output kind of things that we have in our program is that at the end of 9 months, they'll have a playbook. They have a stack of their written strategies where they've wrestled through what are those hard questions that I need to answer to plant this church or this disciple-making ministry or whatever it is. And so they've worked through, like, this is my whole strategic plan. And they'll have an actual like to-do list. So they already know month number one, this is what I'm doing. Month number two, this is what I'm doing. So they will have racked out over the 9 months. What are the specific things that I can be doing? We can, you know, we brought them a little coaching on that, but that's some guys, when they get to start planting a church, it's like, oh, what do I do first? What do I do next? So we'll challenge them to think through, work on the first things first and the last things last, and have an actual plan. That's like the super practical dates, doers and dollars. And then the other thing, just practically speaking with our residency, we do ask for a nominal application fee on the front end. But then we also have a for those that have shown up for 9 months, they've done the hard work. They've they've participated fully and given themselves to this. At the end of the 9 months, they'll qualify for a small cash grant that goes to their church plant as seed money to help them get started.
Wow. So I am listening. I'm interested in learning more, or maybe applying for one of your upcoming cohorts. Where should I go? What is my next steps actually look like?
Yeah, I would say next step would be, I mean, go check out our webpage. It's probably the easiest thing to take a next step is church-planting.net/residencies. And you can get to just that webpage and it'll kind of lay out, here are the dates for this next year. Here's what's expected. Here's what you'll be learning. And then, yeah, if they have any questions, I'd love to follow up with them. They can reach out to me and I would set up a call with them so that we can talk about, you know, their next steps. Love to even if someone just wants to, you know, reach out to me because they've got questions, feel free to do that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Well, we'll make sure that all of the links are put in the show notes. So if you or somebody you know is thinking about a residency program where you can stay where God currently has you living and making money or serving inside of a church, this is a residency program you need to check out and learn more about. Sean, Patrick, thank you so much for taking up time and share a little bit on the Church Planters Podcast about your experience.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thanks, Joshua.
And next week, Peyton will be back, and I've got a seat nice and warm for him. Until next time, peace. I think that's it. I've hit him, hopefully.
Okay.